good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, on November 23rd, the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission froze 41 bank accounts with over 15 million ringgit registered under the NGO Aman Palestine. Now, this follows MACC's month-long investigation into allegations of misappropriation of funds raised and intended for the war-torn region of Gaza. Now, the recent case has also raised pressing concerns about the oversight and management of charitable funds in the nation. Joining me now to discuss this further is Dr. James Nagayam, who is chairperson of the Suriana Welfare Society, an NGO promoting and protecting the rights of children in crisis. James, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Thank you.
In light of the recent events concerning the alleged mismanagement of funds in charitable organizations, I was hoping for you to begin this conversation with maybe an overview of how charities are regulated. You've had decades-long experience in the world of fundraising and charities. I'm wondering what regulations govern charitable fundraising and also the fiduciary duty to the beneficiaries.
Well, to begin with, charities worldwide and locally is a billion-dollar business. Sadly, it is not regulated, not even by Bank Negara. Every year, billions of dollars leave the country and they go out and there's no regulation. What more? There's no commitment to the seriousness of funds being collected. To date, there are organizations who are not even registered and are collecting millions of dollars. And neither the agencies concerned or the public ever questioned and checked into the backgrounds that as to the legitimacy of such organizations. Malaysians are very kind. The whole system is very kind. And so they allow all these things to go and there's no regulation. There is no regulation. An organization can exist by a mere person starting something and nobody questions as to the legitimacy or the legality of that person collecting funds. That's the whole situation in the country to date.
So, James, you mentioned Bank Negara as one of the bodies that should be looking into regulating fundraising and fund disbursements of charitable organizations. Why did you highlight Bank Negara?
Simply because I was at a public function one day and they announced that an international agency had collected 33 million through a donor program, and that 33 million just went out of the country. And I begin to ask myself, is there no regulatory body within the country monitoring this? So every day millions are going out of the country. Where is it? Why are we so laxed about it? Those of us who are registered with government agencies are monitored by the ROS, by the Income Tax Department, by the Department of Social Welfare. But those who are not registered locally or are not legally registered collect money and they go overseas right under our noses. And for the life of me, billions of dollars are going out and nobody monitors it. This is where we are.
Right. Okay. So that, I think the reason is because there's such a diverse range of charitable causes, charitable organizations. The size, the scale vary vastly, local, registered, not registered, international. How do we think about regulating a space that is so diverse? Is it even possible, James?
It is possible. You see, because we don't have a department or a ministry monitoring it and owning it, everybody gets away with it. And so what happens if it's not monitored? Every Tom, Dick and Harry jumps on the bandwagon for a cause, collects tons of money and goes out. Why? Because there's no ownership. So the question you're quite rightly asking is who is it that can monitor it? We don't. We don't have. And that's the whole weakness in our system, that we don't have an agency who monitors charitable activities within the country. So therefore,
who would be well placed, James, to monitor?
Okay, I would think, let's start. If you talk in terms of the overall responsibility, I would say the Ministry of Home Affairs, because it's a Home Affairs thingy. Because if you're talking in terms of Department of Social Welfare, then we have to be registered. But what happens if we don't run a center and we're not registered? Registered as a business, as an individual, as a religious organization. So the question comes, under whom? And I posed this question one day to a committee, and they all looked at each other and said, you know, we don't have a regulatory body for religious organizations. We don't have an organization or a ministry to monitor individuals. They all can come out through the social media, through the other forms of media, appeal for funds, and then it goes out. So I would think it would rightly come under the Ministry of Home Affairs overall, and the Ministry of Home Affairs can take on partners like the Department of Social Welfare or Ministry of Women and Family Development, the police, and all other agencies, and collectively manage this much needed attention of work.
Why do you think there hasn't been regulation on this? What is underpinning this good faith in the charitable organization landscape that other money handling organizations don't enjoy?
Let me put it in three ways. Because you raised awareness, that's why we are coming to a point of progressive realization that yes, we need. And now I hope all the government agencies that are listening to this will pay attention, will be committed, and give me a date by which you can do something about it. Number two, we all are wondering, who does it belong to? So it doesn't belong to me, it doesn't belong to any agency, so it exists. And so people jump on the bandwagon and make a lot of money. Number three, it is high time we realize that we need to get serious about this and do something about it, because it's a billion-dollar industry and people are making tons of money. So quite rightly, we need some form of monitoring, and the time is now.
Right. You know, when people donate to charities, I think that there is faith placed on the organization that they will effectively disperse to the cause, to the beneficiary. There will be impact, a positive impact in some way from their ringgit and cents. How worried are you that the actions of a few organizations will tarnish the reputation of the entire charitable sector? You know, a rotten apple spoils the entire barrel. Are you concerned about diminishing public trust?
You see, that is the trouble. The first thing is, I want to say that the Malaysian public is very kind, very charitable. And so they give. The minute they hear a cause, it moves our hearts. And so we give. But when we give, we are not the type who say, I want accountability. I go by three letters, C-A-T, credibility of the organization, accountability. I require accountability. I require transparency. But the Malaysian public just give. And so when they give, they don't sometimes require receipts. They don't require reports. They don't check who is it that is behind. And so everybody gives, being not informed or educated about the giving bit. So they just give until there is an awareness that is raised and said, hey, this is what's happened. Your dollar or $10 is not the only thing. There are millions giving to it, millions have been collected, but nobody talks going behind the curtain of the organization to check the backgrounds of these persons. Who is it that is using the money? What is the approval procedure? How do you operate? Do you have your accounts? Show me your accounts. I'm open. We just had our audit by a government department. Yes, we showed them our accounts. We showed them our operating procedures. We showed them our services. That should be the standard that every organization, regardless, and we should require that every individual, anybody collecting funds, must have a legitimate legal identity, which means either ROS, a company, nothing else.
So you're saying that charitable organizations get audited too?
No, we do, yes. We are, because we're registered with the Income Tax Department.
If only registered with ones.
The Ministry of Women and Family Development, you get audited. But all the other guys who are registered, businesses and so on, sadly, they collect all this money. They are not audited. And I think, get audited lah. I require everybody to get audited as I've just been audited.
A quick question, James. Would this add a layer of bureaucracy to some charities and might be considered burdensome in terms of administrative costs?
You see, if you want to be clear, if you want to be transparent, you should be open for auditing. It's good. It all the more adds on to the credibility, the reputation of the organization. What are you afraid of? Okay, I put it as a challenge to any organization today. Open your books. Show me your services. You know why? As some people have, some government agencies have told me, some drive very expensive cars. Some travel overseas. The Malaysian anti-corruption have got number of cases reported to them of charitable organization, persons behind the on the board making tons of money, first class and so on. So what does that mean? What does that show you? That we are in need of proper registration, proper monitoring.
James, thank you so much for speaking with me. Dr. James Nayagam from the Suriana Welfare Society. And we're going to take a quick break here on Consider This. We will be back with more. Stay tuned.
Thank you very much.
To consider this, I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our discussion on the needed oversight and regulation of charitable organizations. Joining me now is Raymond Rum, who is Secretary General of Transparency International Malaysia. He's also a certified fraud examiner and anti-money laundering specialist at Grey Matter Forensic Advisory. Raymond, thank you for being on the show with me today. You know, I want to pick up on some of the recent news headlines where MACC froze several bank accounts that were linked to Aman Palestine, an NGO, and also several other companies. Can we talk about that? Because that's really raised some questions about the need for stronger oversight to prevent mismanagement of funds by charitable organizations. And these types of organizations often handle huge amounts of cash. So can you begin by maybe sharing with us what you see are some of the financial crime risks associated with handling that large amounts of money?
Firstly, thank you for having me. Yes, the current situation with Aman Palestine represents a major development in the oversight of charitable organizations here in Malaysia. Now, it's definitely highlighting the importance of transparency and accountability in the management of public funds and donations that come by. And in Malaysia, even globally, handling significant cash flows face several financial crime risks. Now, one primary risk, of course, is the misappropriation of funds, which involves siphoning off funds for personal use or unauthorized unauthorized purposes, per se. Another risk would be money laundering. Now, the Financial Action Task Force, or the FATF, which includes Malaysia as a member, has identified non-profit organizations specifically being very vulnerable towards money laundering purposes. Right, charities, due to their trust-based nature, can be exploited to move illicit funds to guise legitimate transactions going forward. Additionally, there's also the risk of terrorism financing. Now, reports from United Nations and other international bodies have often highlighted the instances where charities have been used to channel funds to terrorist groups. Now, of course, we require Malaysian charities to have robust internal controls, including strict due diligence and regular financial audits and transparency in the way they conduct their business.
Right. So there's such a vast range of charitable organizations, from small to big to local to international, registered, unregistered. How do you see the ability to provide or establish uniform guidelines or oversight mechanisms across such a wide range of size and scale of charitable organizations?
I mean, first we have to look into the fact that we have critical gaps in our current charity regulations, which allows for potential misuse of funds. Firstly, I would like to highlight the fragmented regulatory landscape that we have in Malaysia currently, where charities can be registered under various bodies, such as the Registrar of Societies, the Companies Commission, which may result in lack of uniform oversight. And inconsistency in regulation creates vulnerabilities that can be exploited, and as seen in the Aman Palestine case as well, where significant amounts of funds is now allegedly misappropriated for investments in assets like gold and property, diverging away from the organization's initial or the charitable objectives per se. And besides that, I also like to highlight that the Aman Palestine case also highlighted a necessity of us to adopt certain recommendations by the FATF, by the Financial Action Task Force, one of which is the adoption of a risk-based approach in monitoring nonprofit organizations. This is in line with their revised recommendation 8. And this recommendation advocates for identification and assessment of NPOs based on their vulnerability to terrorist financing. And besides that, additional adoption of FATF's recommendation 24, which we have now also incorporated in our Companies Act, which focuses on transparency and beneficial ownership of such legal arrangements, so that we understand the control structure and who exactly is behind such arrangements in order for it not to be abused going forward. So the integration of FATF's recommendations 8 and 24 into our regulatory framework, I believe, will be a significant move forward to rectify these gaps that we see.
Do you see any challenges in ensuring that there is greater oversight and regulation and all these changes, reforms needed? Might there be challenges in implementing those?
I mean, there's a few ways of doing things here. One of which is, of course, we can look at having a charities commission, right? Having a charities commission, of course, inspired by the recommendations I mentioned earlier, and some of the countries that we can take as example would be countries like the UK. They have significantly enhanced transparency and accountability of their NPOs by way of regular audits, by way of making sure that the objectives of the organizations that were set up is indeed achieved, and putting forth a benchmarking exercise against such commissions may be the first step going forward. But then again, looking at some of the challenges that we may have, one of the primary challenges, of course, is the oversight and accountability within our Malaysian charity environment will be the size and operational scope of different charities, right? Because we have from the smallest scale to the largest. The diversity, of course, nuanced risk-based approach that is advocated by the FATF. It requires, of course, implementation of proper governance structures, proper compliance mechanisms. But keeping in mind, we cannot impose too many controls or too many compliance requirements as well, because we have very small scale charities which sometimes do not have the funding or do not have proper resources to carry out such compliance mechanisms. So I believe we need to have a risk-based approach, a targeted approach towards making sure that we understand the compliance requirement for charities based on their sizes, based on their objectives, and the types of donations that they handle, even if it's local or foreign and whatnot.
Yeah, that's a good point, because the size and the scale are so different. It's really hard to have kind of uniform guidelines. Raymond, you mentioned a couple of times to adopt a risk-based approach. Could you elaborate what that means in terms of how it applies for charities?
I mean, when we say risk-based approach, like I said, we have to understand the context of that particular charity per se, right? Based on the size, based on how it was incorporated. Based on its comprehension, you have reporting requirements. Then we talk about what is the objectives of that particular charity per se. Then we go towards what's the size of the charity and whether donations come in from international bodies or whether it's only local donations that they work with. So all these factors would need to be considered, and monitoring would be required. I mean, resources towards monitoring should be focused on more higher risk charities per se compared to the smaller ones, right? So I think it's best for, I mean, the best method forward is, of course, to have a charities commission. The duty for the charities commission would be then to assess the level of risk posed by various charities that we have and then apply the proper resources to conduct monitoring when it comes to transparency, or when it comes to financial audits and whatnot.
Right. So a charities commission, how would you envision Malaysia set one up? What would that body look like? Would it be an independent body? Would it be parked under a ministry, a financial regulator? Who do you think would be well placed to monitor and regulate?
I believe it should be independent, right? The charities commission should be an independent body where it has powers to audit, the right to audit. They will have powers to request for documentation, request for information. And of course, we have the relevant law enforcement units to take action, right? So it just needs to be an independent oversight body, which can be set up under a ministry or even on its own. And from there on, direct any suspicion or any reports towards law enforcement agencies, because our law enforcement agencies in Malaysia are already given the powers under different acts. As we can see even in the Aman Palestine case, MACC is investigating them under AMLA, under the MACC Act. They already have the powers to freeze those accounts while it's under investigation. So I believe the powers are with law enforcement agencies, but we need an independent body to monitor and provide oversight on charities per se.
Okay. What about the role of the public? Surely we as the public, as donors, as people who are, you know, giving to advance a specific cause, what should we be looking out for? And I say this bearing in mind that lately there have been so many scams as well under the guise of a charitable cause. What would the public need to look out for when they think about giving their hard-earned money to a cause?
As you clearly pointed out, I mean, even during COVID-19, we saw a rise of different charities being incorporated, and of course, many of which were scams. Now, the public plays a pivotal role here, right, in maintaining the integrity of our charity sector. They act as a crucial watchdog, and of course, they help identify and report suspicious activities. Now, referring back to the Aman Palestine case per se, we can see that initial concerns were raised by religious authorities, like leading to the suspension of charity funds collection in certain areas. And this instance basically exemplifies the importance of public awareness, engagement in monitoring of charity operations, and scrutiny of what's being done by these charities if they are not in line with their objectives per se, right? So educating the public about the importance of supporting registered, compliant charities and recognizing signs of fraud, as you mentioned, can significantly improve our sector accountability.
Right. So in terms of practical advice for those listening today, what would you like us to understand before we donate to a cause? What should we check up on?
Firstly, and most importantly, verify the charity's legitimacy, right? This can be done, I mean, by checking registration with official bodies, either through the Registrar of Societies or the Companies Commission. Now, next step, of course, is scrutinizing the financial transparency of these charities per se. Reliable charities will usually publish their financial statements and annual reports, right? And providing clear insights of how funds are allocated, how they are disbursed and used. And another key factor, of course, is assessing the impact of these charities, right? What are they doing? Are they fulfilling the objectives that have been set out, right? Potential donors should look for tangible evidence of the charity's work and the outcomes per se. Effective charities will regularly update their stakeholders on the activities they do and things like that. And lastly, I would also want to bring up what you had mentioned just now. Please be reminded of the signs of fraud as well, right? There may be certain red flags they can pick up on where you have charities that come about and try to, I mean, push their agendas forward or try to get funds to be donated fast as possible, right? Or giving you certain things in return for those donations. You've got to be mindful of those red flags as well.
Raymond, thank you so much for speaking with me today. Raymond Ram of Transparency International Malaysia, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.